go ahead and turn to the book of Haggai, chapter number 1. The book of Haggai, chapter number 1. Could you imagine being named Haggai? Think about this. Haggai's out in the workforce, and somebody walks by, and they say, "Haggai." And four or five guys will say, "Hey, how's it going?" And Haggai's like, "Hey, that's my name." You know, just kind of one of those weird things. Nebuchadnezzar, can you imagine being called Nebuchadnezzar? That would be a different name for us to have. I'm thankful for the name that my mom and dad gave me. And it's a good name, isn't it, Chad? It's a good name. The meaning of our name is brave warrior-like. It's a great name given to us by God. So anyway, let's go ahead and get here. I'm going to read the first 11 verses, and we'll go from there. It says, "In the second year of Darius, the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel." That came out of my mouth wrong. Glad I don't have to say this twice tonight. "The son of Shealtiel." I had all these words down right probably about 2 hours ago. That's okay. "I know the next word, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speak the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to be put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." It's the second time that phrase has popped out tonight as we're reading this chapter here. And I believe it's something that we need to pause on as we go in our life, is to consider our ways. Verse number 8, it says, "Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorious, I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came too little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow it upon you. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is waste. And ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you stayed from dew, and the earth has stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon man, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands." So we see here, in the very first part of this chapter, Haggai is called to these people for this very specific reason. They have been tardy with the task that they were given. They were putting things off that needed to be done. In other words, what was taking place in their life was they lost focus on what is at hand. Has anybody ever been in that situation where you've lost focus? I can remember as I was preparing for this the last couple days, I would lose focus growing up, especially when it came to school. It was hard at times to keep my mind on the task that is at hand. And when I lost focus, my mind would go into other directions. I would daydream a lot. And I would try to imagine myself doing something else rather than schoolwork. And so my focus wasn't there. And because my focus wasn't there, what would take place later on in my life, I didn't know was going to affect me at that point in time. But I began to suffer in some areas because I've lost focus. And I can go back in my mind and I can think to myself, man, if I was just able to stay put, to focus on the material that the teachers gave me that day to do, I would have been better off. But my mind wandered. And so on my part, my education would suffer to the point where it bothers me to this day. There's things that I'll be flat out honest with you, I don't comprehend very quickly. It takes me a long time to get some things, and people will call me a slow learner, and that's okay. That's what I am, and I'm fine by that, but that's how I was back in school. So we see here they were given a task. Their task was they were to build a tabernacle, or you can say they were there to build a temple. And we see here in verse number 2, it says, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, the time is not come." Meaning they weren't willing to put in a time that they were supposed to building the tabernacle. The time that the Lord's house should be built. They were given a very specific task. They were to work together as individuals. They were to set tasks throughout the day so that the completion of the temple or the tabernacle could be completed. But their laziness, their slothfulness was put off. And they had other things on their agenda. I can only imagine what they were doing back in those days. I have been to Israel, and I was able to see that they don't have the toys that we have, so I can only imagine how they preoccupied their minds. But they were putting off the Lord's work. You know, as I begin to think about this, that is no different than you and I. Think about this. We are called to go out into the world to do what? To teach and preach the gospel. To who? To a world that needs Jesus Christ. And there is a world that desperately needs Jesus Christ. And there are times where you and I will neglect our duties. And why will we neglect our duties? Because our focus, and let's be honest with each other, our focus isn't on the Lord 100% of the time. And I say this tonight, we need to refocus. We need to regroup. We need to have a unity with one another and say, hey, let's look at the big picture and let's unite with one another. Let's put all of our disagreements on the wayside, because what we have in front of us is very important. And that is giving the Word of God to a world that needs Him. And so you might delegate some men to come up with a plan to go out into our community to maybe distribute tracts or go door knocking. A lot of you folks probably have never been door knocking in your lifetime. I will say this, it is an intimidating experience to go knock on somebody's door that you have no idea who's going to be behind that door, and you don't know what the response is going to be. But you're there for a purpose. You're there because you know the change that God has done in your life, and you know that He has called you to do a specific work. Now, does God need us to do that work? No, He doesn't need us, but He wants us to do that. So because He wants us to do that, we as believers should have a desire to do those things. It should be at the tip of our mind every time that we wake up. But we're not geared that way. We don't think that way all the time. But we have a great duty to be out doing God's work. But door knocking can become very intimidating. I appreciate my brother-in-law. I know I've talked about this a few times, but that guy's got a gift. And that gift is to grab a tract no matter where he's at, and he'll begin to distribute tracts on cars. And you have no idea, you and I have no idea whose hands those are going to fall into and what that individual is going to do. That individual is going to pick it up maybe someday, or he might throw it by the wayside and it might come back to him later on. But that there is planting a seed. But so often we get discouraged with doing that type of work because we see a lot of wastefulness going in. I can remember, but probably, I think it's been about 10 years ago, to where I went over to South Omaha, and that's where they do the Cinco de Mayo. And one of our missionaries at the time, he was over there in South Omaha, and he had a great idea to distribute 5,000 tracts out that particular morning. Has thousands of South Omaha people gather around, and they begin to celebrate Cinco de Mayo. And I got on board with this. I was excited about this because a guy had a plan. He put that plan into place, and he says, "Chad, you're going to go this direction." They say, "You're going to go that direction." And he just began to delegate plans out to people in what areas to go. And he said this, "Put them in every hand that you can get. And don't be discouraged if they don't take it." Well, we get discouraged. And when we get discouraged, we lose focus. Here's what happened to me that particular day as we're doing this. I noticed as Not only myself was passing out the tracts, I see other people in our group passing out the tracts. And Beth, your sister was with us that day. That was the first time I met your sister. And we're out there doing this. And I begin to look around. Almost every hand that we put those tracts in, guess where those tracts ended up at? They would end up on the ground. And they begin to blow away. And when I seen that take place, I begin to lose focus. I was like, man, this isn't worth it. They're rejecting God's word. They don't really have nothing to do with us, because what they have in mind right now is to really party. That was their objective that day. Celebrate, have a big party, all that takes place during those things. And so I would lose focus, and I would become discouraged. And then out of nowhere, it seems like that God would just hit me in the head with a 2x4. And hey, is not my job worth doing? Who cares if they reject what you're giving them? They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. You need to be faithful, and you need to refocus and regather your thoughts and not let the devil distract you in your walk with me, but keep going forward, because I have called you to do a job. But so often we lose those focus. Well, these people here, they lost their focus. They had a great agenda ahead of them. And the task that was before them, they weren't completing. They were letting other things come into their life and allowing that to take first place. Again, that's no different than you and I. We can't sit there and look at God's word and say, oh, those dirty, rotten people, they're terrible, they're sinners. You know, we got to examine ourselves. We can't worry about them. That's the past. But what we can worry about and change is what we're going to do in the future. We can change that part of that. We can become more excited. We can have a great focus and begin to do what God wants us to do. So Haggai comes upon the scene. It says in verse number 3, it says, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste. Meaning they were putting their thoughts and their efforts into their homes, totally neglecting the house of God. And they were called out on this. And not everybody likes to be called out on things when they've done wrong. Nobody likes those things. I can remember on many different occasions going to school or playing some sporting event, and I would be called out for a foolish act that I have done. Well, when you do something wrong, you have to be called out. That's just a fact of life. And it's for correction, as I said this past Sunday. It is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house shall I waste. Verse number 5 says, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You and I tonight really need to consider our ways. Are we going in the direction that we want to go in, what we desire, what we're focused on, or are we considering our ways in the way that the Lord wants us to go? Are we considering His agenda? Are we considering His task that He has before us? Or has that just become a thought in our mind and it's come through and gone right out? We need to consider our ways. We need to, again, be able to refocus. I believe when we meet every time when these doors are open, should be a time for us to refocus on what we're really doing. I believe, and I say this for a reason, I believe sometimes church services, prayer services, they become monotonous. And I believe they come monotonous to us because our focus isn't there anymore. We've allowed our mind to wander. And that takes place quite a bit. So we need to consider our ways. And here's what the Lord is saying then through Haggai. And it goes on in verse number 6. Says, ye have sown much and bring in little. Now, wouldn't that discourage you? Think about this. If you're a farmer tonight and you go out to the field and you begin to sow your seed, you put that time in there, and then you have nothing to show for it, very little. I was discouraged some years ago. I used to like to plant tomato plants, but I became very wise later on in my life. I don't have to plant tomato plants. because I let other people do that and they give it to me. I don't have to worry about those things. Pastor and Mrs. Springer, they've been gone for the last 2 weeks. Where do you think I've been? I've been to their back garden. They're not going to eat it. It's going to go to rot. So here comes in the scavenger Chad to pick things up. But I can remember doing this a few years ago, and I would become discouraged through the process because the plants that I put in there, and I'm usually pretty good at taking care of things when it comes to getting grass growing, when it comes to plants, things of that nature. I pride myself. I think I have a pretty good green thumb. I mean, after all, for the first 15 years of our lives, Pastor tortured us kids in his whole backyard where we had to till that thing and plant a garden for them. And it wasn't for us because we didn't like the vegetables. We didn't like the potatoes that we put in the ground. And things survived. But I can, and that was exciting because you got to see the process of that. You got to see the work come in. Just imagine, you go out there and you put in all that time and effort and you have very little to show for it. Going back to the tomatoes, I bought 6 or 7 plants, and I barely, out of those 6 or 7 plants, I barely produced maybe a dozen tomatoes. And that was discouraging. So discouraging, I cut those tomatoes plants down and I threw them in my neighbor's yard. I didn't need them no more. They're useless to me. He can put them in his trash can. I didn't care at that time. They disgusted me. But nothing to show for it, very little. So this is, as they're talking about this, this is beneficial for them because it's bringing in food. Okay, ye have so much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. In other words, you're getting enough to be satisfied, but you're not getting overly full as we like to get in our world today. I mean, the last couple times I've ate big, I put myself in a sleeping coma for some reason. A coma is sleeping, isn't it? That was dumb. But anyway, ye have not, ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe ye, but there is none warm. And he that earneth the wages to be put into a bag with holes. In other words, what they were bringing in, it was going out quickly. And could you imagine? Just imagine this. As you go out and work, your boss gives you a bag. And he's going to say, every job that you do this day, I'm going to reward you with money. Well, in our world today, you can't be awarded with money because cash is dirty. So you can't get cash. And now we have a so-called coin shortage, so you can't work for coins. So in our world today, we're going to work for a tracing debit card. And he says, yeah, I'm going to give you this tracing debit card, and every time you do a job, let's put it in your bag. Well, along the way, as you do your job, you put those cards in your bag, and guess what? Some will stay in the bag, and some will go through the bag. And this is what was taking place here. And so after this was said here, verse number 7 again, it says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Your ways are not profitable for you. And there's a reason why this has taken place. You've neglected what I have called you to do. You had a purpose. You had a specific job to do. You haven't been thoughtful. You haven't been considerate for me, towards me. All you're doing is thinking about yourself. And that's where we get in our mindsets quite a bit. We think about ourselves quite a bit. And that's unfortunate. But we need to consider our ways. Is God's ways more important than ours? Well, let's be honest with ourselves. At times, we think so. We think our ways are more important. Think about this. We have things planned out probably for the next week of our lives. We probably have next month planned out for us. But have we really sat down and considered our ways and said, hey, what does God want me to do this week? What does God want me to do next month? I have what I want to do. And in reality, when you think about it in the big picture, what we're doing right now is going to be meaningless when it comes to eternity, unless you're pursuant in souls. So we need to stop and consider our ways. Are we being fruitful? Are we multiplying the word of God to the world that we have been called to evangelize to? Chad, I'm not a very good speaker. I fumble over words. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I get nervous when I meet new people. Trust me, I know what you mean. But we have a focus. We have a job to do, and we should be focused about doing that. I believe we become too comfortable in our lifestyles. And I'm talking about myself as well. We become too comfortable. I've considered my ways only, and I haven't considered the ways of God. And a shame on my part. So it says in verse number 8, it says, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to you little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is waste. I've called you to do this. You have partially done it. You've put a little bit of effort into it. You've done some work here and there, but my house isn't completed. My house has not yet been built because of your laziness. And so, in another sense, what's taking place here, they're being reprimanded for their laziness. And so we go on here. Verse number 10, it says, therefore the heaven poured over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. So because of this, there's judgment that comes upon them. And that is what we just read here. The earth is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon a new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Here's what's taking place here. As they were going about their life, doing what they wanted to do, they were asked twice to consider their ways. They had judgment come to them. And that's unfortunate in their life, because really, a job was given to them. They had a blueprint that they were to go by and to abide by. All they had to do was be faithful. But they weren't faithful. And because of their lack of faithfulness, guess what takes place? Judgment comes upon them. Stop and consider for a moment what we see taking place in our society today. Do you think that we've been faithful in doing a job that we need to do? Think about this. You can turn the television on. You can watch the news. You can listen to the radio and get your news from there as well. But you see a world that is really hopeless. And you ask yourself a question, why are they hopeless? Why do you see somebody on a television where we read about an 8-year-old girl getting shot? Or probably like you had last night on your phones about midnight where your phone went off because of an Amber Alert. Those are scary. You know, that scares me all the time, thinking about my daughter getting abducted. You know, I'm going to share with you how safe Israel is to this day. There has not been an abduction of a child since the early 70s. That's a safe country. But think about this. If we are faithful in doing the job that God wants us to do, He gave us a blueprint, did He not? He gave us a blueprint to go by. He has given us avenues for us to be focused. Well, what's that avenue? First of all, it's the Word of God. It's having a relationship with Him, reading His blueprint. Two, getting our direction from our local pastor, our church, and how to go out and to be a witness. But we see all this hopelessness taking place in this world, that's going on in this world today, and partially it's due because of us. Why is that? Think about this. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. Do you remember the last time this baptistry was used? It was almost 2 years ago. And we had 17 people, I believe it was 17 people that came throughout that time, realizing someone haven't been baptized yet, and there's salvation in there as well. But it's almost been 2 years since this baptistry has been filled up. Why is that? Because we're consumed in what we want to do for ourselves. Now, I know not everybody's like that. And I thank God for the ones who aren't like that. And we need to be faithful doing what God wants us to do for His work, for His kingdom. We shouldn't be worried about what we're doing here on earth, trying to achieve this, that, and the other thing for ourselves. Because when it comes time, who's it all about? It's not about us, it's all about Him. And I believe we have come to this conclusion tonight in our world because you and I, and I'm talking about myself, we have lost focus. You know how many times I kick myself in the rear end at the end of the day? Because I have had opportunities presented before me and I didn't talk to people about Jesus Christ. I kick myself in the rear end over those things. Perfect opportunities that have come my way. God gives me opportunities just like He gives you opportunities. But why do we blow them? Because our focus isn't there. It's on us. You know, if we can just care about the people in this world the way we do about some of our animals, it might be a different world. Think about that. I was driving out of my office today about 10 o'clock this morning, and I seen a little bird in the road, and I seen that he couldn't really move. And I passed that thing up thinking, just let somebody kill it. Who cares? You know, it's just a bird. We got millions of birds in this town anyway. It's just one less bird that's going to drop doo-doo on my car. So, who cares? And then it's just like out of nowhere. Hey, God would have compassion for him. Why wouldn't you? So you know what I did? I went back and I picked up the bird by my hands. And he looks at me and he's squawking at me. And the mom and dad, I think they're mom and dad, they're flying down trying to attack me. And I just picked that bird up and put it off to the side. But think about that. If we would have that type of compassion for people, man, it would change the world. It really would. You know, I believe tonight that we need to refocus. We need to regroup. We need to reunite with one another to do a job that God has called us to do. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer, and we will be dismissed tonight. I'm leaving early. I'm going to get out of here as quick as I can. So the last one out, please shut off the lights and lock the door and pay extra tithe for me. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for your word. We ask that you just continue to bless in this week. Lord, watch over us this coming weekend. I see that the heat's going to be up there, and we pray that, Lord, you just bring us a good breeze throughout the weekend, bring us some shade as well from the clouds. We ask you these things in your name. Amen.